Hello and welcome to FinShots Daily. In today's episode, we discuss three things from the Bloom Ventures report. Number one, what does internet penetration mean for e-commerce? Three things changed the face of digital India. When Reliance Jio launched in 2016, the dirt cheap tariffs meant that many Indians went online for the first time in their lives. Then, the launch of UPI made digital payments easier. And of course, demonetization gave it a boost. Finally, when COVID struck, people took to online shopping and activities like fish to water. All this meant that mobile internet subscribers in India soared. From 400 million users in 2016, it doubled to 800 million in 2020. Startups piggybacked on this, and the ones who pitched saying, "My industry is underpenetrated, digital will solve everything," raised lots of money. But there's a problem now, especially for e-commerce, because everyone's an e-commerce user these days. Okay, not everyone, but the penetration levels are already quite high. 19% of India's households shop online. If you dissect the numbers, you will see that in the high income category, which is greater than 6 lakh rupees, the e-commerce penetration is already at 37%. Or as Bloom put it, e-commerce has already captured the low-hanging fruit. That means if they want to go after the rest of the market, especially the rural side where penetration is around 19%, it will be hard work. Because if e-commerce companies want to acquire and retain a new shopping household, they might have to shell out anywhere between 5,000 rupees to 12,000 rupees. That's what Credit Suisse pegs the cost to be. So if they want 30 million new households in their kitty, they're going to have to spend between $1.8 billion to $4.5 billion to acquire them. Will companies want to spend that kind of money? Maybe not, especially if you think about the return on investment. While people in metros spend $500 annually per shopper, the folks in Tier 2 and smaller cities spend just less than half of that sum, at $220. The economics may just not work out for the companies. But there's another roadblock too. You see, there's been a slowdown in mobile internet subscribers of late. Since hitting the 800 million mark in 2020, growth has been lackluster. We're at about 837 million internet users today. Even smartphone sales are going through a tough time. It fell by 9% in 2022. And that's because entry-level smartphones aren't as cheap as they used to be. Prices have gone up. Combine that with the fact that 750 million people already use smartphones in India, and it's hard to see where the growth will come from. The pie isn't expanding, and you need smartphone users to drive sales. It seems like we might have just reached a plateau for e-commerce. Makes you think, doesn't it? Number two, is hyper-local content the future of OTT? Sometime last year, we wrote about how startup funding works. We said, quote, "Great entrepreneurs start as great storytellers. They can weave the most compelling narrative and get even the most reluctant venture capitalist on the cap table." But this assessment is only partially true. Sure, VCs love good storytellers, but they only like a very specific kind of story, the one where you tell them the world is your oyster. Unquote. Essentially, VCs like to hear a fabulous story about how they can 1000x their money. And for that, they like hearing that the total addressable market, or TAM, in a country like India is massive. They want all 1.4 billion people on board. But what if you're launching a media startup that's going to have a very niche audience? Maybe you're creating video content, OTT, for a regional audience in a specific dialect. Most VCs won't like this initially. You might find a select few who will help you get things up and moving, but the biggies might stay away. They will worry about how much revenue you can snag. They might say, sure, people pay for Netflix and it has 6 million subscribers in India. Sure, Disney Hotstar has 60 million subscribers too. But getting people to pay for content in local dialects, will that work? Well, maybe it will. Bloom points to an OTT platform called Stage, which caters specifically to Haryana and Rajasthan for now. In July 2021, Stage had 10,000 paying subscribers. Less than 2 years later, it already has 2,35,000 viewers who pay. These viewers might be people who already own other OTT subscriptions and decided to get a regional one too. Or it could be those who scoff at the content on Netflix and say that it doesn't reflect the true India, or Bharat, as everyone likes to call it. That hyper-localized content is the way to go, that they'll pay money for it. Either way, Stage can show the VCs that they've achieved their product market fit, that subscriptions work, that they can replicate this model across the length and breadth of India. That with nearly 20,000 dialects across India, the opportunity is intense. People will pay. Then the VC money will come in too. And here's the other thing. So far, OTT platforms haven't really opened up for advertisements yet. They've stuck to subscriptions. That's why you see data which says that only 1% of the $7 billion digital ad market goes towards OTT. Companies haven't had the chance to advertise on OTT. But platforms like Netflix are already experimenting with an ad-supported subscription model. Cheaper versions that will attract more people. And if regional OTT platforms can help companies target extremely specific audiences, then advertising could also blow up, right? That means more VC money. Number 3, can the e-commerce duopoly of Amazon and Flipkart be broken? If you're a startup selling products directly to customers or a D2C, how do you attract customers? You could build your own website and advertise heavily on social media to draw people's attention, but it could cost a truckload of money. You could choose to list your products on Amazon and Flipkart, let them distribute it for you. You pay a listing fee and share some commission, but their massive user base could supercharge sales. What if we tell you there's a third option emerging stealthily? We're talking about Cred. Yes, the pay your credit card bills and earn coins company has something called Cred Store within its app. It curates a selection of brands and lists them. People can burn their stash of Cred coins and get sweet deals on the products. And going by what Cred said when it launched the store, it doesn't charge any fee or commissions from the brands either. Now, there are a couple of interesting things about Cred's e-commerce venture. First, Cred is a play on discovery commerce. Have you ever, when bored, simply popped up the Cred app and started browsing through the store? And that's thanks to its discovery commerce feature, a personalized feed of products, perfectly searchable categories, and even in-app addictive casino-like games like spin-the-wheel deals and bidding for products. It's entertaining. So while you'll only fire up Amazon when you need to buy something specific, Cred Store is scroll-worthy when bored. It's just an alternative social media feed, just for shopping. And this trend is catching up quickly. In fact, the most downloaded app recently in the US across both Apple and Google has been an obscure discovery commerce platform called Temu. Sales on the platform are through the roof. Secondly, there's Cred's target market. India has a creamy layer at the top. They're the ones who contribute the bulk of e-commerce sales. As per Bloom, this is approximately 120 million people who have a per capita income greater than $12,000. And if you think about it, a subset of this is probably the same folks that are on Cred too. That's because Cred gatekeeps its users by using the credit score as a filter. The end result, while Cred only has less than 5% of Amazon's user base, it's generating massive sales for some of the brands listed on its platform. Anywhere between 30 to 50% of the sales these days is thanks to Cred. A discovery platform with gated access to the top earners seems to have done wonders so far for some D2C brands. And while this strategy may not break the Amazon-Flipkart duopoly, Cred's emerging as an e-commerce force in its own right. So yes, there are lots of cool bits in the Bloom Ventures report. But that's all we could pack in for now. What do you think? Let us know by tweeting to us at @FinShots. Thank you for listening to today's episode. FinShots Daily is available on a bunch of streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Until next time.